Again, let us talk about the inyan of the mechiras chametz. Rabbi Yask, you do mechiras chametz?
Yeah, I do. I get very curious because we have so many people that walk in, most of the shul, I mean, they walk in, so they still do it in their neighborhood. I'm happy with that. I don't care.
I came in a blue shirt today because I'm ready to buy chametz.
I saw the joke. The guy in Lehi. Okay, Rabbi, so what exactly is the Inyan of Mechiras Chametz? Okay, first of all, this is a very important yisoid. This year, as you know, is Shemitah. This is a very critical yisoid, to appreciate this yisoid. This year, the minhag of selling chametz to a guy is a very old minhag. Okay, I didn't prepare all that well to go through all the pratim, but it goes back a very, very long time. Does it go back 1,000 years? Maybe. Maybe it goes back. Shanim Kadmoniyos, it's the minhag that the Jews have in their possession chametz, and to dispose to be mekayim the mitzvah bal yeirohe bal yeimotzei with 100% in a way that does not exist in this world, can be a very big hefsed mamon. So what was the solution that Chazal came up with? They came to the solution of sell your chametz to a guy. We'll discuss the pratim in a moment, the general concept. Now, this is not the only subterfuge Chazal came up with. What about ribis? Many Jews could not possibly survive in this world without lending money with ribis. That's just the reality of this world. So Chazal came up with, now when did that come into existence? That came up also. It's a very old minhag. Heter iska. Okay, we're not going to go through the details. Heter iska. You convert, you transform a loan into an investment, a business investment. And heterisco is very complicated. The dynamics, is it half a loan? Is it half? Okay, not for now, but it's a complex, not so complex, but there are many variations and halachas. It's also a technique. I don't know, the subterfuge is not a nice word. It has a negative connotation, but it's a technique that Chazal...
The important part, because you can't be a master, Masha Kosem Batorah, so the Gemara discusses...
It transforms. The Gemara exactly doesn't talk about Heter. The Gemara, there's no Heter issue in the Gemara.
No, but things like that...
In the Gemara, there's no Makar in the Gemara to sell your chametz to a guy. It does not exist.
No. According to the barrel wine, it happened. It started with the beer merchants in Germany who complained that they would lose their entire inventory if they had a...
What year? What year was that?
In the 1600s.
So recent?
That's what he says.
That's recent?
In one of his books, he claims.
And Heter Iska?
And then little by little, some of the regular pieces wasn't meant for the oilam. But then a lot of people in the island saw that they
also
they
needed
knew it, they wanted to tag along.
Okay.
And it became a...
All right, so we have to really study the history. You have to study the history exactly. He's when right. Is the first He's record of Mechiras Chametz? When is the first record where Jews sold their chametz to a guy? I don't know. When is the first time that Jews took advantage of this document called a Heter Iska to convert a loan into... No, it's not. There's no Gemara anywhere in the Gemara. There's no Gemara. Heter is a modern. It's modern. How many hundreds of years? It's been around for a few hundred years.
That's what it was.
Okay. There's something called the Heter Iska in order to avoid ribis. Now, what about an Eretz Yisrael Shemitah? This year is a
Shemitah.
Okay. There's another good. You get another example. Prozbul X. Another example. That's not in the Gemara. That is in the Gemara. That goes back 1,500 years. You see that? That is something that goes back ancient times. Prozbul. Shemitah comes. It cancels all transactions. If you owe someone money, you owe someone money. And Shemitah this year, Shemitah is Ein Shemitah Mishametas El LeBesoif. This year, Habolein LeToiva, you need a Prozbul. If you lend anyone money, you may not even know the person has money, investment funds, in retirement funds. You never know what goes on behind the scenes.
If you didn't pay until now, you're not going to get it.
It's always a good idea to make a Prozbul. You never really know what you have. Maybe you do. Some people don't have much. They knew they have nothing. So there's a Prozbul. Prozbul is a technique Chazal employed in order that you will not lose your right to collect the loan when the year of Shemitah is over. When the year of Shemitah comes to an end, then automatically, when Shemitah comes to an end, that's this year, Shemitah is Meshameit Besoif. There are some people here who probably made a Puzbul on the beginning. I don't know why people do that. That's not the halacha. You'll tell me a Chumris, there's a Shita, one Rishayin. Today it became a very strange world where people do things.
It just doesn't help for the loans
things,
that you make after.
That do things
it
because...
helps for all the loans like that you had yesterday. To
say. When is Shemitah Meshamit?
We learned yesterday.
You hand your guess over to Bezdin or whatever it is.
Right, okay, but that's the technique. Okay, that is the technique. But bottom line...
It's just not going to help for anything
but
in
you're
that
going
year.
Against the spirit of the law. Right. The Torah says, when right. Shemitah comes, the end of the Shemitah, any loan that you were involved in, you have no right to demand collection when Shemitah comes to an end. You have no right. That's what the Torah says. So along came Chazal, and this is the Gemara. Prosbul. People are unable, for whatever the reasons are, to abide what it says in the Torah. So they found a legal loophole. A legal loophole called a prosbul, where you go through some technicalities, you give over your loans to the Bezin, therefore now you're acting as an agent, and therefore you can demand payment. I mean, you look at it from the big picture, you're really going against the spirit of the Torah, and you have found for yourself some legal loophole. Yet the Gemara endorses this. This was something that was established. Hill was Mesakin the Prusbul. Could very well be that's only because Hill was Mesakin the Prusbul do we have something today called Mechiras Chametz to a guy. You're getting away with Baal Ye Rohe and Baal Ye Matzeh via. Shalacha. So you have a legal loophole. A legal loophole. The guy, I sold to a guy. So you're basically getting away with what it says in the Torah Baal Yehra, Baal Yematzeh, through a technique. Okay, then the other example we get, what was it? Was it Prozbul? What?
What about
Yibum? Yibum and Chalitza. Yibum and Chalitza, so the Torah presents them both. This machlokes in the Gemara is the Gemara just said ein bimkoyim yibum ein chalitza klum. The Gemara just said recently that when you have an opportunity to do yibum, chalitza is nothing. Chalitza is not called a mitzvah. Is it called? It's chalitza mitzvah. The topic discussion in the Gemara. Okay, that's a little bit different. Chalitza and yibum, the Torah gives you two options. The Torah itself presents you with an option. These things that we're discussing now, the Torah does not present you with any option. The Torah tells you there's two possibilities. Either you can do the mitzvah of Yibum, or you can become the mitzvah of Chalitza. Petach Hamor, a person has a donkey, a firstborn donkey. The Torah gives you a choice. You can either redeem the firstborn donkey with a seh, give the seh to a kohen, or you can decapitate the seh, the chamor. Decapitated. So those examples, the Torah itself is giving you a choice. Have a choice. You can either redeem the donkey with a sheep and give the sheep to a kohen, or you can kill the donkey, chop off its head.
Gives you the loophole.
Right. So that's the question. The question.
Guy,
that the question. Well, no, that's a loophole. That's
I'm
a legal loophole.
But there is a loophole.
So Chazal. So you're saying giving another very good Bukhar. You're giving another example. Another very good example. We have a Bukhar, firstborn, and Bizman Azeh. We don't have an option of giving the firstborn animal to a kohen. So because the kohen is not going to be able to bring it as a carbon. So today Chazal came up with a solution. You should have a shutfis with a guy. If you give a guy partial ownership in your firstborn animals, then there is no obligation to give this animal to a kohen. So very good. It's another, we already have five examples. We cannot compare the case of Petach Hamor and Yibum, because in those two examples, the Torah itself presented you with a choice. There's a lot of discussion in the Gemara and Chazal, are they equal choices? Or is the Torah really presenting you with a loophole? How do you look at Chalitza? Do you look at Chalitza, really, we want you to do Yibum? But we realize not everyone's going to want to do Yibum, so the Torah itself is going to be very kind. It's presenting you with a solution to your problem. chalitza. Is that the longest? Or do we say, no, there is a mitzvah of yibam, and there's a mitzvah, it's not a legal loophole. The Torah is presenting you with a choice. There's a mitzvah of chalitza. This is the topic of discussion. Petach hamar. You have a choice. Is it the pshat the Torah wants you to redeem the chamor with the seh? Is that the ideal thing what the Torah wants you to do? And it just so happens to be that if you can't do it, so the Torah gave you a legal loophole of decapitating the donkey. Or do we say they are equal? They're equal. Okay, let's put those two examples aside. Because those two examples, the loophole or the alternative is presented explicitly in the Torah. Let's discuss situations that are not in the Torah, which Chazal have come along to give you a solution. So people over here in the Shri have given many examples. One is you just mentioned of a Bechor, a person who has livestock, and his animal is about to give birth to a firstborn animal, a petah. So what is the law of the ordinary circumstances? The mitzvah is to give a firstborn to a Kohen. Bizman hazeh, you can't do that because we have no Beis HaMikdash. So what do you do? So create a shutfis with a goy. Let's say a person is an ovel. He's a mourner and he has a booming business. The halach in Shulchan Aruch is clear. An ovel is not allowed to have his business open during the 7 days of avelus. Anyone, Rachmana Litzon Leilin, who is an avelus and owns a business, the business must be shut. So what happens? What happens if a person is an ovel and for whatever the reasons are cannot abide by the law? Now this is not a din d'oraisa. So what do you do in this case? You make a shutfis. Same thing, you make a shutfis with the guy. Same thing, you have to go make a shtar of a Reisman. Shlita, he talks about this a lot, that people who are not available to have a private, they have a business, they're not allowed to have the business in operation. He closed it down. He did the right thing.
The other one went to the bar.
Oh, okay, interesting. Okay, so either you should close down your business, or you make a shutfis. But that's not halacha d'oraisa. Avelus not having a business, that's not a din d'oraisa. Okay, that's another example convention of Shemitah's Kisofen. The year of Shemitah, when Shemitah is over you, you have to cancel all your debts. So what do we do? The Gemara already gave us a solution. Pruzbo. This year is a Shemitah year. In Eretz Yisrael, we don't appreciate this because we live in Chutz Eretz, we're spoiled. But in Eretz Yisrael, this is a major, major issue. If you're living in Eretz Yisrael, you would know the halachas on your fingertips. What do you do with the produce of the earth? In a year, I'm sure, Mark, is that correct? Is it a big, hot issue in Eretz Yisrael?
I always ask my children.
Wherever you go, and what do you do? What do you do about the produce of Eretz Yisrael in the year of Shemitah, where the land...
It's very easy, because the stores, a lot of the stores that sell, will tell you.
Yeah, of course they're going to tell you. The question is, are you going to buy from that store? Will it ruin your prospects for Shaduchim? If you get caught going into that store. If you get caught...
They have stock from egg, right?
Yeah. So what's going to be next year? So what's going to be next year?
Next year is
going to
be.
What's going to be the lulav, the for next year? It's not going to get this year.
Free.
What? Really? For free? Yeah, really.
But that cover.
And what about matzah? What about now the flour? The flour of this year's matzah was from last year. But what's going to be next year's matzah? It's going to be for free, right?
The flour. It's going to be Russian matzah.
It's going to be free. Two-year cycle.
The
so then for the next 2 years it'll be free.
In two years it's not going to be.
One year, it's what was left over from the year before.
Ah, it's hard to believe. I don't know, maybe the wheat. It's hard to say that. All right, whatever it is. Okay, whatever it is.
More and more they're selling it as individual items.
This year is a Shemitah year, and one of the solutions is to sell the land to a Gentile. Sell the land, you sell the Eretz, you sell the land to a guy. Heta Mechira. This was something that was literally Pikuach Nefesh. Go back 100 years ago, the pioneers who came to resettle the land, the Zionists who came to resettle the lands on the kibbutz, those that were observant, you couldn't live. You would starve to death.
One of my great grandfathers wrote, he had a right because Jews were coming there to Israel, and he wrote Sforum on the halachas. He had a paskin. Be a shilus on Shemitah Yom Kippur.
There's no Yochel this one.
No, but I mean, Shmita. In other words, the halacha is pertaining to all of that.
So there used to be, and there still is, in the very large area, part of Eretz Yisrael, what's called the Heter Mechira, where there are farmers who do business as usual in the year of Shemitah. And the reason why the food is permitted for consumption in business is because it's not the property of a Jew. It is sold to a Gentile. Today, this has become in religious circles very controversial. As you all know, there's not a person that's not been contacted 100 times by the Keren HaShvi'is and been asked to give a donation. It's a very nice thing to give a donation, even the $5, $10, to show that you're a Maimon in Shemitah, to help farmers who want to be observant in this matter, to give them stipends so they can survive this year, and they should let their lands lie fallow. Okay, so there's something called Keren HaShvi'is. They import food from other countries, or they stock up from the year before. All right, this is something that's a very big topic, but there are still is a major segment of the Jewish population, Eretz Yisrael, that relies upon what is traditional, what has been established by the Gedolei Yisrael of previous generations, heter mechira, in order to avoid the biblical prohibition, which is severe, of working the land in the year of Shemitah. They sell the land to a non-Jew. So it's their land. Does that even work? Is it even possible to sell land to a non-Jew? Are you allowed to sell land to a non-Jew? It's a controversial, which I'm going to come to in 1 second. Okay, now we have what we're talking about over here today. We're talking about mechiras chametz. You sell your chametz to a guy. We have ribis, heter iska. Jews are always finding solutions to problems, which is not so simple. My father would always joke, and he would say, if a person, if you want to, you have to have a cigarette, would you like to have a pack of cigarettes? Would you like to smoke? So you're not allowed to. The Surgeon General, now I don't take the Surgeon General seriously anymore, but years ago I took the Surgeon General very seriously. I used to have a lot of respect for the Surgeon General of the United States. That was in the old days. Maybe one day, once again, I'm not here to tell you my political agenda, but the Surgeon General paskins on every box of cigarettes that it's pikuach nefesh. If you're smoking, sometimes smoking cigarettes is pikuach nefesh. Dina de malchus dina ushemartem meoid lenafshay seichem. You're not allowed to smoke. No, Baruch Hashem, today you don't see it so much. Ushemartem meoid lenafshay seichem. At least not amongst Orthodox Jews. Yeah. So what's, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Ushmartem me'oy l'na, how you gotta smoke? My father would joke. Simple. You rent your lungs to a guy. Like a star. It's not my lungs. So I'm not in violation. It's not my lungs. It's the guy's lungs. Okay, this is a joke. It's a joke, but unfortunately some of these jokes, they go a little bit too far. So the question, here's the big question. The question is, why is it that is the one. There are a lot of things you can analyze in all of these subterfuges and solutions. Heter iska, shmita, chametz, prusbo. All of these type of things that we do, making a partnership with the guy with regard to the animals. There are all these things. Where do you draw the line? When is it, you know, you're going too far? You are in a violation of the spirit of the law. In halacha, we always say you can literally get away with murder. If you're creative enough, you have enough talmud chacham, and you don't like someone, you want to murder him, and you don't want to be held accountable in shemayim for ritzicha, to avoid the zara, to gil yarayis, guess what? If you're London, you can figure out a way to commit the gimel averos chamurois, and you'll be exempt. You can prove to it. You can prove al pi halacha, you did nothing wrong. But as Rav Meir said from the Ramban, such a person is a novel bereshus halacha. He's a despicable person. So where do you draw the line? When is it together novel bereshus hatora? And when is it? It's not only is it acceptable, it is advisable. It's a very tough line to cross. So there's a one yesoid which doesn't answer too many questions, but it does at least deal with at least two of them, mechiras chametz versus heter mechira for shmita. In Eretz Yisrael, it's a fact that today it's not considered to be a milah to rely upon Heter Mechira. I'm not an Eretz Yisrael, so I can't speak. They're very poor people. People don't have Parnassah. It's a big, big problem. It's not for me to speak. But people are trying the best that they can not to have to come on to Heter Mechira. Where, if possible, the land, the farmers should not work. Do not attempt to sell the land to a non-Jew. We have no choice. People are going to starve. People need parnasa. Am chay Yisrael tzrichim parnasa. It's a problem. Always was a problem. Years ago, it was much worse. It was literally pikuach nefesh. Today, it depends who you talk to. If this is your parnasa, who's the person to go and say something? And say something not nice. But even with everything said and done, it's obvious to all that if there was a better solution, if there was a solution, we would take advantage of the solution not to have to come onto Heter Mechira. When it comes to chametz, no one, it's a lechatchila. It's mamish a lechatchila by 90% of the Jewish population. There are people, no one's going to challenge, that will say, don't sell your chametz to a guy. But even those people who are not selling their chametz to a guy, which basically means you should consume all of your chametz the entire year. Don't stock up on expensive beers and wines and whiskeys and all these type of things. Don't get involved in this. Don't have a whole section of your home of whiskey. Who needs this? You want a bottle of whiskey, so you make it simple. So you buy one or two bottles and you drink it and finish in the garbage. Don't stock up, have a whole stash. There are people like that. And the reason why they object to Mechiras Chametz is, you should know, it's usually for completely different reasons, not because there's something inherently wrong with the Mechira. They're just afraid that the Mechira, that not every Rav is so skillful in doing the Mechira correctly, and there are many higher stories.
Well, 12 years ago, most of the people in the Kamal not to sell the Chametz anymore. Just get rid of all that chametz.
That's serious. A tremendous chiddush.
It is. No, that's
a very big chiddush to say that.
Rav
Aaron Kahler held you can sell chametz gomer lechatchila.
It's
tradition.
But a lot of people don't. They sell their chametz, but not the chametz.
Chametz gomer.
Not if it's an open package.
Close. Something valuable. Okay.
Valuable.
Right, so there are different. There are different variations, but so it does not appear. So even the people that are machmir, everybody say. Even the people that are machmir, the chumras are for other reasons. It's not because there is something inherently wrong with the mechira. When it comes to Eretz Yisrael and the year of Shemitah, it's not a pleasant thing. No one lechatchila wants to sell land to a Gentile. It's not a lechatchila. Why? What's the difference?
It's a question on what you're putting.
So let's say you hold the can. Let's say, let's take the side. Let us go even further. Let us say that we paskin that you're allowed to. You can sell land to a guy. Make believe. Make lechatchila. Still, it's not a good thing to do. What's the difference? Very, very simple. The difference is, when you're making a subterfuge to do what? To avoid an avera? Or to do an Avera. It's a very important yisoid. When it comes to Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to sell the land to a guy so that I can engage in planting, in plowing, in harvesting, in selling, and working the land. The Torah says, do not work the land in Shemitah. Do not. Desist. Stand down. No. I want to do it. Kum va'aseh. I want to work the land. I want to plant, plow, I enjoy this. This is what I like to do. Don't tell me what not to do. But don't do it. I want to do it. I have a solution. The solution is, I'll sell the land to the guy. And we're going to paskin 100% it works. If you sell land to a guy, let's assume l'chatchila, the land is not no longer allowed to do it. That's a transaction that is permitted. It's no longer your land. And now, what you're doing is mutter. You're taking advantage of a legal loophole to get up, become the assay, and to go against the spirit of the law. That is something that is not advisable. But when you come onto a legal loophole to avoid doing an avera, that's a different category. That's gesundheit. Am I eating chametz on Pesach? Am I making chametz on Pesach? I just want to prevent myself from being in violation. The Torah says, do not possess chametz. I don't want to possess it. But I do possess it. So in order to avoid the loisase of bal yeroh and bal dimotze, I have a legal, I come onto a legal loophole. I do the legal loophole, and now what do? I do nothing. Shev al tase. On Pesach, am I engaging in what would otherwise be a prohibited activity? No. Oh, I have it in my possession, in the spirit of the law. But it could be that I have it in my possession in the spirit of the law, but I'm not actively doing something. My mind is not there. It's in the closet somewhere, it's over there. I'm not using my bare hands to engage in an activity.
So selling
the bechor would be the same type of thing. You have a firstborn animal, if the animal's pregnant, if it gives birth, it's going to be a bechor. And then I'm supposed to give it to a kohen. It's to stand down. I'm not doing anything. I'm just holding. It's not considered that I have a firstborn. It's similar.
So not with my hands planting.
Right. When you
so the
deal.
The risk is also the same.
So heteriska is a little more complicated.
Because I'm actively.
Right. So heteriska indeed is more complicated because heteriska, you're actually borrowing money and you are paying back ribis. Heteriska is a much more delicate issue. Because what is heteriska? The Torah says, do not borrow money and pay back interest. That's kumviase. You're getting up and you're going against the will of the Torah says, don't do this. And you say, I don't care what you say. Don't tell me what to do. I'll do whatever I want to do. I'm going to borrow money and I'm going to pay back interest. Don't do this. I have a solution. Heteriska. So heteriska, I have this document on the wall, heteriska, and now I'm going to do what the Torah tells me not to do. That's a problem. Why then do we engage in doing this? Number one, we have no choice, okay? Let's like heter mechira in Eretz Yisrael. You want to starve? You want to starve to death? Is that your choice?
The whole thing really is just a business.
Or
really is a business.
There's another Indian, another thing that when it comes to money, and this is not a nice thing to say, but it's not really. When you're dealing with money, it's a different league. Because money is hefker bezdin, hefker. The Torah gave the Chachamim much more power in dealing with cash, dealing with monetary issues. We find all over the Chazal, hefker, bezdin, hefker. Chazal want, they can take all of your money and they can, like they did in Canada, when the truckers protested, they issued, it's an emergency, and they froze everyone's bank accounts. What?
The
government doesn't like you. They decide we are now going to trigger emergency laws, and we're the boss. And all you people, you have no money. All your money is gone.
Is it also that we're not really giving your diet ribbons? Because we're dealing with cash and money transactions.
You're giving ribbons.
Ribbons is what I take an egg and I give you two eggs instead of.
So that's what you're doing.
I gave you.
At the end of the day, you borrowed $100, you gave back $200.
No, but it's all bank transactions. It's not for your diet, it's a bank transaction.
That's what a legal loophole is. It's a tremendous chesh. At the end of the day, what did the Torah tell you to do? There's the technical law and there's the spirit
of
the law.
Two gold coins and give back three gold.
At the end of the day, how much money did you borrow? $100. How much did you give back? $200. And it was prearranged. Prearranged. It has all the trappings of ribbis deraisa. Mamish ribbis deraisa. Why is it mutter? We didn't structure this as a loan. We structured it as an investment. Okay, very nice. What is the will of the Torah? There is the legalities, the technical specifications, and there is the spirit of the law. Did you borrow $100? And did you arrange lechatchila to pay back $200? Don't tell me how you structured this loan. It's like a tax lawyer, right? You go to a tax lawyer, way we're gonna structure all of your assets, this tax shelter and that tax shelter and that tax shelter. At the end of the day, you don't pay taxes.
You structured a deal properly.
You structured it. So in America, lechatchila, if the law allows you to do it, gesundheit, right? That's why there are tax lawyers. Lechatchila, that's what you should. Don't be a tzaddikal. If the law allows you, the government allows you to do it, they allow it for a reason. The Torah is not like that. The Torah, without beyond the shadow of a doubt, wants more of a person to follow the spirit of the law than to follow the technical details of the law. Don't be a smart aleck. The bottom line is, I'm borrowing $100. I'm arranging lechatchila to pay you back $200. Unbelievable. And we're just going to structure it as an investment, and we're going to break up a different parts. It's a whole complicated document, and you're allowed to do a lechatchila. Wow, that's a chiddush, because that really, really is the same issue with heter mechira for shmita, because shmita. Everyone doesn't like Heter Mechira v'Shmita. It's a stain. It's a stain on Klal Yisrael that there's something called Heter Mechira. We rely upon it. Yeah?
What about Havla? We see many times in the Torah that
there are
Shabbos.
Yeah. It's the same thing. It's a lot of these things are very sensitive, and where do you draw the line is a very tough question. You can never forget that there's something called the spirit of the law. The Torah does not allow schar Shabbos. Okay, a person works on Shabbos, you're a waiter on Shabbos. It's the halach of Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to, it's uvdin b'chol. You're not allowed to work on Shabbos. The Torah says, shavas vayinofash. Rabbanan said, you're not allowed to hire yourself for work on Shabbos. Maisim b'chol yom, every Shabbos, we are workers, every industry, in catering industry, the whole every kiddush, someone's getting paid. There's a lot of work taking place on Shabbos. People are making a nice parnasa working on Shabbos. Okay, even a rabbi gives a sermon. The main part of the rabbi's job is Shabbos. Shabbos, he gives a sermon. Shabbos, he's there to monitor the people to make sure they don't kill each other. And to, you're working on Shabbos. That's your parnasa. Also, what's the solution? It's havlah. We're only paying you for during the weekday. We'll give you a little bit more. It's an issue. It isn't. No one's going to tell you that it's not an issue. It's mutter. Why is it mutter? Because you have no choice, basically. We have no choice. But you have to know where to draw the line. When you're dealing with matters of money, it appears that there's more grounds for leniency. Because money is something that, in reality, is not tangible. I know it's crazy, right? Everything is money. But in reality, money is something which is not... Working the land in Shemitah is a great example. Because you're manish doing with your bare hands what the Torah told you not to do. It's manish a maisa b'yadayim to go into the land and work with your bare hands. Torah says, don't do this. Oh, I have a solution. I sold the land to a guy. Thank you very much. This is a holy land, Eretz Yisrael. You work in the land during the Shemitah with your bare hands, and you came up with this legal solution to solve your problems? It's not nice. Do we have a choice today? You know, be very careful what you say, because if you were the farmers in Eretz Yisrael, and you were in the food industry, and your whole parnasa was on the line, you wouldn't be so quick to criticize, and I'm not criticizing anyone, Chas v'Shalom. But they don't have a Karen Ashvias that tries and to schnar money and humiliate themselves for nothing. Because it's not something that the Gedolei Yisrael feel is an alechatchila. Mechiras chametz, all the people that are coming around to collect the Karen Ashvias who make the appeal for Karen Ashvias, I guarantee you 99% of them are selling their chametz to a god. The people who come to your shul and get up and make an appeal, the people who send out the brochures, the people who call you on the telephone on these robocalls, all of those people, 99% of them are going to their rabbi to sell their chametz to a god. What's the chiluk? Well, the two chiluk were very simple. Shehed mechira You're doing a ma'aseh b'yadayim. That's not right. Mechias chametz, I'm not doing nothing. I am doing nothing. Garnish and garnish. I go through Pesach, I don't even know what chametz I have. I don't even care about the chametz. For whatever reason, there's some schnapps there. I may have somewhere in my retirement fund, you may have invested in Kellogg's. Maybe the person who manages my retirement fund, they invest in the wheat. Now commodities have become a big, big thing. Because since some of the old inflation, the world is going, everyone is worried. People are investing in gold and silver and wheat and food. People are mamish coming to invest now in commodities, chametz. You know, people don't have no clue where the retirement funds and what it's commodities. And my mamish feed stocks in, is that really cool? Chametz, not chametz, you're an owner. Okay, all these different shilas, yes, no, different opinions on this matter. But what am I doing on Pesach? I'm doing a ma'aseh b'yadayim. I'm doing nothing. My hands are clean. I'm not thinking about this. It's just that I should not be in violation. Protect me from an aveira. I want to be protected from doing an aveira. That's why I'm entering into this subterfuge. That is mutter. Not only is it mutter, by 90% of Klal Yisrael, it's mutter lechatchila. There are other things, heter iska, which you're doing a ma'aseh b'yadayim, Prusbul, this already is the time of the Gemara. You're going to go and you're going to collect. What is the purpose of Prusbul? This is Prusbul is a powerful example because Prusbul is in the Gemara. All these things that we do today were invented much later on. But a Prusbul, when the Shemitah is over, you go to your fellow man, sir, you owe me money. Give me back my money. He says, excuse me, it says in the Torah that when Shemitah comes, Hashmet Yodecha, you're not allowed to do what you're doing. Kuva Haseh, you're being Tovei Amomoyim. Hillel came along, made a prosbul. Oh, you go against the spirit of the law. No, so you go against the spirit of the law. Klal Yisrael could not survive. Where do you draw the line? It's a tough question. I don't know. Let's put that aside. Now let's discuss some of the laws of Mechias Chametz. Now, as Rav Dov said, there are many madregos in Mechias Chametz. For some reason, it's not so clear why there are some Gedolei Yisrael that were not comfortable selling chometz gomor to a goy. Rav Aaron Kotler is known to have said, and maybe even he himself, there is no issue if you have in your closet bread, stale bread, and you want to save it for whatever reason. You want to save it. Cheerios, okay? That's not for you. Cheerios is chometz gomor, as far as I understand. And it's open box of Cheerios, a closed box of Cheerios. And why should I throw it in the garbage? It costs a lot of money. Why should I throw it in the garbage? Or half a breakfast. The kids half a breakfast. They have to pay some. Can you put it away in the closet and sell it to a guy? Yes. Without any hesitation. Chometz gomor, the Gedolei Yisrael said it's permitted to sell to a non-Jew chometz gomor. However, for some reason, which I do not know, there are people in our community that don't feel comfortable selling to a goy chometz gomor. And therefore, they do sell chometz. What do they sell? They sell whiskey. Or they sell products that may have ingredients that might be chometz. Suffolk chometz. Maybe yeah, maybe not. Certain types of perfumes or cosmetics, which they don't really need to sell, but since some people hold that this alcohol, as we discussed, came from a type of alcohol that is chametz and has not been destroyed in the process of making this product. All right, that's what they sell to a non-Jew. And then there are people that don't even do that. They try to minimize, and the reason why they sell chametz to a goy is just in case. Just in case I may have in my possession something I'm not even aware of, I don't want to be in violation of an Isser D'Oraisa of Baal Yeiro'eh, who Baal Yimotzei, they sell the chametz to a guy. And then there's the ultimate reason to sell the chametz to a guy. So I told you right, the people that sell chametz gomer. People that sell only, they won't even want to sell taruvis, or chametz luksha, which means it's like a damaged type of chametz. And then there are people that only will sell the third madrega, they'll sell Misafik, I might have chametz in the house. I might have chametz, maybe I have stocks. So just in case. Three different types of people.
The chametz that's belaying the pots.
The chametz that's in your pot, you do not sell. You do not sell if you have kalim that you use the whole year for chametz, and you clean them for Pesach, and the only reason why you're not using them on Pesach is because the b'liyos, they may be absorbed in the pot. You are not selling to the Gentile the absorptions of chametz for many reasons. Number one, he's not interested in buying it. What kind of ridiculous thing is this? I have a guy, I have a pot. Go imagine the scene. You present yourself to a non-Jew, and you say, I have here a pot. This pot I've used for chametz, and in the walls of the pot are absorbed microscopic flavor.
But you would sell.
What?
There are belias you would sell.
What belias would you sell?
In your wine case.
The casket. The what's it called? The cherry casket.
Belias are a big deal.
Okay, that's an interesting thing you say. You're selling the wood because of the belias. Okay, you're saying something interesting. But can you imagine the scene? You go, I want to sell you the belias. Look at the game of sugar now. Why? It's not worth anything. I don't want to buy it. What is this worth to me? The belias in your pot, out of your mind? You don't sell it. The chametz belias that you... Oh, but chametz also b'mashahu. You know what you do? You mevatel it. When it comes Erev Pesach, you say kol chamira, the chamira, the islay b'reshusa, the chazite idlo chazite, the biyad lo biyarte, libata v'levi hefker ka'afra da'ara. You do not sell to a guy crumbs. You do not sell to a guy belias. You do not sell some crust that may be burnt crust of chametz on the edge of the pot. You don't sell it. You try to clean it up the best that you can. Whatever you can clean up, you discard. You are mevatel, and that is the end. You only sell to a guy products that are tangible, either chametz gomor, or if you don't, some people don't want to sell chametz, they're afraid even to sell chametz gomor. They only want to have any shaykhis to chametz gomor, so they'll sell whiskey. Whiskey is not chametz gomor. Whiskey is called nuksha. It's some type of in between. I don't even know how to define the word nuksha. Nuksha is a category of chametz which is not chametz gomor, but it's not kosher lePesach. It comes from chametz products, but you can't necessarily say that it's mamish chametz. The way it's manufactured, can you say that it fermented to the degree where it turned into halachic chametz? No. Did it go through is it a product of the five grains which has been transformed and something happened to? Yes. So is it chametz or is it not chametz? I don't know. This is called chametz nuksha, which literally means damaged chametz. A person is not over midoraisa bal neirohe bal yemotze and chametz nuksha. If a person eats chametz nuksha, he's not chayiv karis. It's not real chametz. What?
Play-Doh
is chametz nuksha. No, midoraisa? I don't know. Is it edible for a dog, Play-Doh? Play-Doh is not alcohol. Play-Doh is not alcohol. So we would follow the rule of thumb that we discussed. Is it edible for a dog?
Yeah, sure.
Yes, a dog will eat Play-Doh?
Yeah, a kid will eat Play-Doh.
So a Play-Doh is flour, water, and other ingredients. There's no alcohol. Is there alcohol in flour? No. So therefore, the determining factor for Play-Doh is clearly the rule, is it edible for a dog? If you're telling me that it is, then it would be chametz gomor, possibly. Chametz gomor. It's probably chametz nuksha.
What?
Probably nuksha. It's truly, the honest truth is, it's very, very hard to find today chametz gomor. The only chametz gomor you have today is really bread. It's very hard to find chametz gomor today in the products. Okay, Cheerios is like a cracker, it's like a bread product. Besides the real chametz that you can manage to see with your eyes, This is chametz. You have a product. Whiskey is not chametz gomor. It's chametz nuksha. All of these products. What?
It's treated like chametz gomor. Whiskey.
No. What?
It's treated like chametz gomor. Whiskey.
No, we treat it because we sell it, but it's chametz nuksha. It's not chametz gomor. Whiskey is not chametz gomor. It's chametz nuksha. Person would drink whiskey on Shabbat. Would it be chayiv? I wonder with a mice, someone bought fish. And it turned, and they served it on Pesach, and then realize it was not kosher le Pesach.
In what sense?
It was like the gefilte fish.
Oh. Yeah.
So the gefilte fish, how do they make
it? Gefilte?
The gefilte, no, the rolls. The gefilte fish rolls. So there's kosher Pesach gefilte fish rolls, and there is non-kosher Pesach rolls. The non-kosher Pesach gefilte fish rolls, they prepare it usually with chametz gomel.
Right.
Okay, chametz gomel. So that can be mamish chametz gomel. So that you want, you know, I don't want to. I have it in the freezer. Why should it cost a lot of money? Why should I go and throw it in the garbage? Let me sell it to a guy. You can sell. Okay, so we have three different types of people who sell chametz. One is the chametz gomor, I got no problem. So I'm only going to sell taruvis chametz luksha. And then there's a third category. They don't even want to do that. They only sell the chametz to the guy because they're very nervous. I might have in my possession chametz that I don't know about. So just in case, put my name down on your shtar, just in case. And then there's category number four. These are my favorite people. They don't have in their house chametz gomor. They don't have taruvis. They don't have no sveikas. These people, they have no. I don't own any chametz.
They don't own anything.
Yet I go to the rabbi to sell my chametz. You know why? I want to give the rabbi money to pay something. I use the ma'isa of mechiras chametz as a way to show the rabbi, I humble myself before you. You are my rabbi. I told this to you last year. These high people don't exist anymore. It used to be years ago. I told you that years ago, and I know it's a fact, years ago, if a balabas, listen well, if a balabas would not come to his rabbi to sell him his chametz, it was literally a declaration of war. This is a fact. Go ask the old-timers.
Yep.
My father was a rav. When a balabas in the early years would not come to sell his chametz to the rabbi, is a statement, I don't hold from you. I don't hold from you. Ad kidei kach, this is very common, and my father passed away, so it was the first year, and I said to my mother, I have to sell chametz, the guy. Who should I sell to? So she says, who are you close with? So I said, I'm close with Rabbi Shur in Tarvidas. He was like the rabbi of he passed away in Tarvidas. Avram Shur's older brother. He was the rabbi there in the Tarvidas alumni minyan. And then, you know, I used to go a lot, go in those days to Yibod L'Chaim Tarvidas' brother, Avraham Shur. And I come to, and that was the middle also, I said, there was Shulman over here. And it was someone else maybe after that. My mother said, sell it to them all. Sell it to them all. So the truth is, the Chassam Sofer has a shayla in Chuvis. A person has many rabbanim, like we all have today. Who do you sell your chametz to? So the Chassam Sofer says, sell it to them all. Oh, but each rav is selling it to a different guy. Who owns your chametz? So the goyim, they'll fight about it. One thing is for sure. If you sell your chametz to five rabbanim, you sold your chametz. One of the five goyim owns your chametz. Which one of the five goyim own their chametz? So let those five goyim go to a din Torah. That's not your problem. If you sell your chametz to the five rabbanim, one of those five goyim, or maybe them all b'shutfis, that's their problem. You got rid of it. And adarabba, it is your submission to the Rav, Rabbi, I make a statement, I hold from you. You are my rabbi. I'm machmir myself before you. This is the way it used to be, I'm telling you, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Today you say this to someone today, under the age of 30, or even older, under the age of 40, they will look at you like you're from Mars. You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. There's no such thing. Today, it's anonymous. You go online, you sell chametz online. Right, you sell chametz online. The rabbi, when you go to the rabbi, he gives you the impression sometimes, and the rabbi is, what are you wasting my time? Wasting my time.
I see it in Shul where I go to the Kamara. There are people who come, they move to with me, a teenager. God knows where they're
back. You see that? There are such people. Tell me, they're children, they'll do this?
I don't know. These are not very old people.
Oh, it's very nice.
In the 30s and the 40s.
Okay, Will their children do the same thing? Today, the young people don't know from this. Adarab, who sell chametz? Who needs to sell chametz? I don't have any chametz. Oh, chametz, chametz gamur. We get rid of no taruvis. We don't have any chametz. I don't have any stocks. I don't have any retirement fund. Baruch shepotrani me'oin shoy shel zeh. And when you go to the rabbi, sometimes you get the impressions. I see sometimes some. It's like, what a waste of time. What are you bothering me? And then you give them money. I don't take money. I'm independent. Today, unfortunately, independent most rabbanim today, because who else? Unfortunately, many rabbanim are independently wealthy. It's just being a rav is just the covet. It was just, you know, it's just like, it's not like it used to be. They hired a rav. They supported a rav. It was part of the rav's parnasa. Ad kidei kach, all the tshuva svarim say that if a rav in the rare occasions where a rav was wealthy, independently wealthy, would used to be 1 in 100, and the rav, I don't need the money. You're not allowed not to take the money because you're going to ruin it for all the other rabbanim. All the other rabbanim, they need the money. They need the money to survive. They paid them nothing, peanuts. They survive. So if you're going to be the tzaddik and you're not going to take money, you'll make a trend. That rabbanim, they don't take money from mechiras chametz. They do this as a service, as a community service. You're going to ruin the parnos of the other rabbanim who do need the money.
So
that's how.
Some schools have it written in the contract that that's part of your salaries.
You see? I don't think they'll do it today. Today they work. Today,
some
today.
Schools, some schools, it's in the contract that it's not included in salary and it's totally all yours.
I understand.
And does not go
through.
Today we live in America. It's a global melting pot. Isha Yoshebe Navyase. There are many rabbanim that will tell you outright no money. There are rabbanim that will say, yeah, I take the money, but the money goes to tztaka. The money goes for this fund of the shul. And then there are rabbanim that need the money. They need the money very much. And then today we live in America. Then you get the impression they don't sell chametz to the guy. Today it's a very big melting pot today. Today everything goes. You can't tell anyone what to do. There's no community of rules when it comes to this. This is gone. This is like ancient history. But it's interesting that mechiras chametz did. There's no doubt about it. Mechiras chametz over the last few hundred years took on a life of its own for this fourth reason. It's not just a halakhic reason. Pesach is a new tekufa. I saw my father. People came, they were dignified people that would come. It was a time of the year where, it's like, you know, Rosh Hashanah. You submit to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Kaparis, Rosh Hashanah. You come to Shul Yom Kippur. Amos Hadin, Pesach. It's a new tekufa. HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, Rosh Chodoshim, Rishnu Lochem L'Chodesh HaShana. It was a religious service. It was a religious experience going to the rabbi to sell your chametz. This may sound bizarre to many people. I know that what I'm saying, but there's no doubt in my mind that the reason why mechiras chametz occupies so much space in tradition, in halach, in shulchan aruch, and in the sifrei apayskin, is because it wasn't just about selling the chametz. It was about authority. It was an event where people acknowledged authority, religious authority in their life. It just happens to be the way they did it was to selling some Cheerios in their closet or whatever they had in those days. Which, come on, who cares about the Cheerios, right? There's an element in the Mechiras Chametz that captures this, which today, unfortunately, is a lost art for many different reasons. Some good reasons. Not everything is bad. There are some very good reasons, and some other reasons.
In the past generations, they also gave the time for you to have a one-on-one with the rabbi.
Right.
Unfortunately, in the present generation, they don't even have somebody who they call their
love. Exactly.
There's a big problem with them.
It is a problem and it's not a problem. Everything in this world has milos and chesroinos. Baruch Hashem, today there is an incredible milos that there never were. The advantages in Ruchnis we have today are astonishing. relative to what was in previous years. On the other hand, there are, you know, problems, issues. That's the way life is. That's how it is. Every generation is unique. All right, b'chiras chametz is a lama, but basically b'chiras chametz is this weird time that we just run through. When do you do, this is a very interesting issue. When does the rabbi sell the chametz? When is the ideal time to sell the chametz? So this is a very big topic. Traditionally, most rabbanim sell the chametz at the time of the burning of the chametz, the very last moment, from different reasons. Number one is you first want to be mevatel. You want the balabatim first to be mevatel the chametz before you sell. You want it to coincide with the bittul. You want it's done at the time when first the people they mevatel their chametz, and after they mevatel their chametz, then you sell the chametz. If you were to sell the chametz first, and then you're mevatel. In other words, the bittul will work also. So here, if I'm not mistaken, this is the lumnus. It's better for the rabbi to sell the chametz after you were already mevatel your chametz. That way, you're getting double. The goal is to avoid the sin as much as possible. If a person says kol chamir, what does it say when it's kol chamira? Kol chamir, the islay berush, the chazit le chazite, the biyati lo biyati. What do you mean? What do you mean? That you don't know about. That way, the chazite, what you see, what you don't see. That nusach, what I know, what I do not know, you're basically selling is, even the chametz that I sold to the guy, that I put away in the closet to sell to the guy, you know something? What's important to me is Hashem's ratzon. It may be worth $1 million, I don't want it. I'm a vatel. Just in case, basically what you're saying is, just in case the rabbi doesn't go through with the transaction, I want to be mevatel it. Then the rabbi says, I'm selling it. So the sale is happening after you were mevatel it. If the rabbi would sell it first, and then you would be mevatel it, your bittul would not go on the transaction. If you know in your mind, put it like this, it's a little delicate at this point. If you know in your mind that the rabbi already sold your chametz, the rabbi is going on vacation this year to Eretz Yisrael, he's selling the chametz Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Okay, Sunday. So everyone better give in the forms before Sunday. Okay, you're giving your forms, so the rabbi already sold the chametz. Now it comes time to do the bittul. In my mind, what am I being mevatel? I'm only being mevatel the chametz that's in my house. My mind is not on the chametz that the rabbi sold, because the rabbi already sold it. The rabbi sold my chametz 2 weeks ago. So whatever is in this closet, it's the rabbi's problem. The rabbi sold it already. He sold it. So when I say kol chamira, in my, even though I say the words the chazite, the loy chazite, the biart, loy biarte, before, in my mind, am I thinking about what's in this closet? I'm not, because that closet the rabbi already sold 2 weeks ago. But if the rabbi did not yet sell the chametz, I'm wondering how reliable is this rabbi to begin with. I gave him the paper, but he's not doing the transaction till later today. So I'm really worried. You know, the rabbi is like the plumber. Who says he's going to come? Who says he's going to...
They work together, the rabbi, but one rabbi
will tell
the next rabbi, you can't
get it. Yeah, who says they're going to do? When you say the bittul, the sale has not yet taken place, it is human nature to be worried that the transaction will not go through. Who says the goy will show up? Who says the rabbi is reliable? So when you say kol chamira, you're having in mind all of the chametz in the closet. So therefore, but I don't really want to sell it. I don't want to be mevatel. I really want to sell it. But you know something? Who knows if the rabbi is going to come through? He's going to come through. Or maybe what the rabbi does, he's not going to do a legal transaction. He'll make mistakes. Therefore, if the rabbi sells the chametz after you say the bittul, that's to your advantage. Because you, it's human nature to be worried it may not go through. So when you say the bittul, you will be having in mind, and your words of kol chamira will go on all, even the chametz you're selling to the guy, just in case the transaction does not go through. But if the rabbi already sold the chametz, he sold the chametz. But you know something, maybe the transaction was no good. Maybe his transaction, I thought he sold. He told me he's selling the chametz on Sunday. So the time already passed. He sold it. You think he sold it. Maybe he didn't sell it. You're not going to be having in mind the chametz that's in the closet. So there's an advantage when the transaction takes place after you say the kol chamira, because this way you're taking advantage of human nature. Human nature is, maybe he's not going to do what he's supposed to do, and therefore I want to cover myself just in case the rabbi does not end up selling my chametz. Lehevei hefker ubotel ka'afra da'ara dechazite udeloy chazite, including what's in the closet.
But when he sells it, then it's already there.
You're doing it all tonight. You're not really. Okay, you're doing it all tonight. But if you know, the rabbi went on a vacation and he sold the chametz 2 weeks ago. Oh, he already sold it. So now I say kol chamira, am I having in mind the chametz in the closet? No!
Didn't he sell it as of a certain time?
He sells it, no, immediately. He doesn't, no. The sale is immediate. No. Now the other issue is, the other reason why we'll stop with this, the other issue is, no, adrab, you want to sell the chametz to the guy, adrabah. The other tzad to say is, before you say the bittul, before the night, even the night before bedikas chametz, because then, you are required to do bidika in the locations of where you have the chametz. In other words, the rabbi did not sell the chametz until the last moment, like most of what we do today, may ikar hadin, when you do bidikas chametz the night before, you didn't sell this, you didn't rent him this location yet. You're mechuyev to go inspect all of your property. Let's say you're selling a room. I have a chametz sticker kitchen. So what I do on Pesach is I rent the kitchen to the guy. Oh, you rent to the guy, you don't have to go inspect it. But if you did not yet rent it, even though you're planning to rent it, and the Zman Bidiga has arrived, you're mechuyev to inspect, to clean up that room. If you have a non-kosher Pesach kitchen that you're closing up for Pesach, and you're going to rent that kitchen to the guy, you don't sell the kitchen, you rent the kitchen to the guy. And now it's the night of Pesach. It's the night of Bedikas Chametz. Are you mechuyev to go inspect, make sure there's no chametz in there and it's clean? Well, if you did not yet rent it to the guy, may ikar hadin, you're mechuyev to do a bedika on that kitchen and clean it up and put things aside because you did not yet rent it to him. And the Zman Bedikas Chametz has arrived. You're going to make an excuse? I'm anyway going to rent it, and the rabbi is going to rent it tomorrow. Well, tomorrow is not here yet, and right now is the Zaman of Bedikas Chametz, and this is your property. You better clean this room up. Don't make excuses that I'm planning to rent it to a guy tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning when the rabbi rents it to the guy. Well, it's not yet 10 o'clock in the morning, and right now it's Lel Yudalid, and Orl Yudalid, you're mechuyev to go inspect your property, and it's still right now your property. So therefore, there are people that are makbid to the transaction to the guy should take place before the Zman of Bedikas Chametz. Because if you don't do it before the Zman, all of the locations where you store the Chametz and you rent to the guy, Me'ikar Hadin, require a Bedika. So the only way you can get out of doing a Bedika in those locations is making sure that those locations have already been rented to the guy before the Zman of Bedikas Chametz.
I already sold.
You didn't sell nothing. So there are two minhagim. It's a no-win situation. There are some rabbanim that are makbid to sell it before the zman bedikas chametz, and there are some rabbanim that sell it bedafka after the very last moment, after all of the balabatim already said kol chamira. There's also the issue of the internet of time difference, where today people have apartments in Eretz Yisrael, or people have apartments in Florida, and that doesn't make a difference, the Eastern Coast, in California, or in Chicago, and then you get involved in the issue of where is the Zman of the Chametz, where you are, or where the Chametz is.
I have that problem because I'm not Eretz Yisrael.
So then you have to do an early Bedika. The rabbi has to sell the Chametz lechatchila, before at night, before. But then the rabbi in Israel is also no good because he's going to buy it back. He's going to buy it back the moment Pesach is over in Eretz Yisrael, and you have chametz in America, and it's still Pesach in America. So it gets complicated. It gets very okay. We'll stop here.